Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Buying a home used to feel like a complete headache. Listings here, pre-approval there, financing somewhere else. Now Rocket is giving every home one address. Rocket.com, a single seamless homeownership platform to help you find, buy, sell, finance, and refinance your home. Everything you need, all under one roof. Visit Rocket.com, the new home for all things home ownership. Rocket, own the dream.
The Koivic Pod, on Off the Ball.
I do think they still have a chance, but I'll say it's all going to come down to that derby, and I think United sort of has that confidence at the minute.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Monday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight, and there is quite a bit to get through after that weekend of sport. So the football show after 9 o'clock is going to be pretty much all Liverpool, all hour. Nathan Murphy was at Anfield yesterday calling the game for us, so he'll be back with us in studio. No idea why he didn't stay in Liverpool last night, but he's going to bring you his memories from Anfield yesterday afternoon. And Dion Fanning will join us on the line that hour as well. Between 8 and 9, then we're going to be talking to Colin Boyle and Darren O'Sullivan about mainly a seismic result in Portlaoise yesterday, as Dublin have lost the Leinster Championship game for the first time since 2010. There were plenty of good talking points from the Ulster Championship as well, which we'll discuss with the lads after 8 o'clock. And we'll also be joined by Fiona Hayes before 9 to look back on the end to the Women's Six Nations as well. From 7:30, we're going to kick things off tonight with Anthony Nash to chat about the weekend's hurling as Waterford announced themselves as a factor in the Munster Championship. And we'd love to hear your thoughts throughout the evening as well. Our number on WhatsApp is 087-9180-180 if you want to get in touch, or you can drop us a message on social media. At Off the Ball is our handle. Dublin GAA fanatic Stephen Doyle is here in studio for the Monday News Round. How are you feeling, Steve-o?
I didn't think you were back till next week, and I can't believe you're here to join in what has been 24 hours of incredible anti-Dublin bias that I've been coming under fire
for. Saturday, though.
It's borderline true. Xenophobia. It's incredible. Yeah, but listen, I'm throwing all my eggs into the hurling basket now, of course.
Yes.
Great to see, actually, big John Heatherton. I remember him making his debut. What a player, and comes from a great hurling family. I was delighted to see him having a brilliant day at Parnell Park. So,
Say Claire Hurling and Aston Villa fanatic Mick McCarthy's also here in studio. How was your weekend, Mick?
Welcome to the misery. Yeah, what a miserable, I won't say what, of a sporting weekend that was for myself. But I have to say, after Claire, the funny thing is both games were like over well before the end. So you had that, there was a sense actually, my wife came in like, and she was like, it's eerily quiet in there. And I had done the thing that I don't even know, it's a subconscious thing that instead of sitting on the edge of a chair, once I realise it's gone, I sit back, put my feet up, and she's like, oh no, are they getting hammered? So there was that, because it goes to the game yesterday. But that was fine. But then I have to say, I was like, my plan was to then sort of like try and do a bit of life stuff after coming out of the laser focus, but watch Tip and Cork while I'm doing it. So that was kind of on in the kitchen. We're out, lovely day yesterday out the back garden with the kids and so on. And then, like, obviously that sending off happens. That's mad in its own thing. But as the game goes on, so I'm like, something that hadn't even entered my head was Dublin and Meath to watch. It just wasn't like, it was Cork Kilkenny was the, Cork Tip was the game to watch.
It was a competitive landscape yesterday.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, not going to lie, this doesn't happen very often with me, but The football went on the big TV and the hurling went onto the phone.
You are having your hurling man passport revoked as we speak for saying such a thing.
It was an incredible thing. Like, the more and more Meade got ahead, like, and that's, like, you saw the scoreline first, and then I turned it on and I think Meade got 2 two-pointers in a row, you know, a little bit before halftime. You're like, whoa, this lead is getting to the point where I don't know if they're going to get it back. It was just a thrilling game of football from that point on.
It was a strange day of sports watching, because the most significant thing that happened yesterday across all the sports that we pay attention to is probably Liverpool winning their 20th title, but it was also the most inevitable thing that happened yesterday, the most drama-free thing that happened yesterday. So it was very much a case of, I want to see the scenes in Anfield when they win it, but there was, even when Dominic Solanke scores, I mean, it's Tottenham and all that. It's not really a situation where you thought that this could be in any sort of jeopardy, that we might be strung out for another week. I know you were professionally working on another game yesterday, Steve-O, so you didn't have the armchair experience.
Nobody even mentions Manchester United now, which says a lot. Like, you know,
last minute equaliser,
and a bit like Bowes on Friday night. Actually, at least had something to celebrate over the weekend, along with the hurlers. But do you know something, lads? Like, listen, I always say, I'm not sure if I said it on the show before, but my formative years following GA, and I've been going since 83 with my dad, but my formative years following the Dublin Footballers were late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, off the back of the sad passing of Mick O'Dwyer, I was speaking to friends from Kildare, because I moved down to Kildare in my teens, and I used to get a bus up from the local club, Kill GA Club, I'll give them a mention. And I used to get the bus up. I was the only dub in the village. And I would be there sitting on a big minibus full of Lily Whites, and me sitting there in the blue Dubs jersey. I remember one day, actually, the bus was pulled up at the lights at Newlands Cross, this before the motorway was done up, and I can just remember a Dublin fan sitting on the other traffic lights across the way, and he's sitting there in his Dub jersey. He looks up the bus and he sees me there in the window of my Dublin shirt, and all these Kildare fans. He kind of does this double take, go, what the hell's going on there? But that was the golden era of Leinster football, late 90s, 2000s. Like, Westmeath were competitive, Leash were competitive, Wexford, Offaly. And I think what happened yesterday, and listen, I think Louth are favourites to win this final, even though Meath will probably be favourites. I think Louth are going to do this. I really fancy them. I thought they were brilliant last year. Gerard Brennan has taken on the work that Mickey Hart has done, and he's got them so well set up. Like, they're so tactically well set up. And I think, hopefully, this is the start of a new era for Leinster football, because Kildare, I think it would be good to see them go on and give the Tailteann Cup a really proper rattle and try and win that, get them, they're in Division 2 for next year, and see them be a force again in Leinster football. But you've got Louth there, you've got Meath there. One thing I said about Meath yesterday, their shooting was absolutely incredible, absolutely brilliant. I got the feeling that Robbie Brennan perhaps is doing shooting drills with them, because some of the two-pointers were phenomenal, as well as the general play.
They also went for it, which I loved. You know what I mean? They knew they had the win, they went out for it, and they took those shots on. And then I suppose once they start going over, like, all these footballers are good enough to do it, you know?
There was a bit,
well,
though.
Dublin aren't.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Dublin's two-point shooting was...
But if they were playing it to their best, they would be, you know what I mean?
But there was one moment where Kieran Kilkenny had just taken an effort from outside the two-point arc, and it had just gone wide, and on commentary they were like, oh, Dublin are forcing it now, Dublin are panicking now. It's like, I'm not sure what you expect.
It was
Dublin
the same thing Meath were doing in the first half.
Exactly.
They were just going straight over the black spot.
There's always kind of like, there seems to be a very fine line at the moment, and I think we're all trying to figure this out about what is the right decision-making process when you're shooting from range. And I mean, you saw the screamer that Loud scored late in the game to
Tommy
Durnan, was unbelievable. And I mean, that's the sort of baller, the sort of shot a year ago that you'd have your head in your hands with if you see somebody shooting from that range. So it was fascinating yesterday. I was going back through the archives a little bit earlier on, because I wanted to go back to the last time Dublin lost to Leinster Championship match, obviously.
What time did that match happen at, Steve-O?
For anybody who doesn't know the punchline.
5 past Cluxton.
It's been a long time since we've heard that.
That's a joke that didn't deserve the last 15 years.
So this obviously happened on the 27th of June, 2010. So
27th of June?
Yeah.
What have we done?
I know. Today is literally literally 2 months ahead of when it happened last. But the morning after, it's fascinating looking at the sports headlines, just to show how far the sports world has moved on since the last time Dublin lost a game in the Leinster Championship. So here's just a selection of some of the headlines the morning after, along with the 5 past Cluxton. Stephen Kenny takes his Derry City side south to play Bray Wanderers in an FAI Cup replay tonight. got Bo's boss, Pat Fenlon, was given food for thought as he watched TNS in a friendly on Saturday. Fabio Capello will hold a press conference later today as speculation about his future as England coach continues. So this is the same weekend as Frank Lampard's goal slash non-goal in the 4-1 win for Germany at the 2010 World Cup. On a similar theme, Fernando Torres may not have hit top form in the World Cup yet, but Spain coach Vicente del Bosque insists the Liverpool striker remains a major threat to opposition contenders.
I'd fancy Spain now to get going as the tournament will get on there. Yeah, I would.
In the Ulster Championship then.
Not sure about Torres, but Spain would be okay.
There's a headline that said, the Farnie men prevailed against Fermanagh on a scoreline of 21 points to 2-8. Malachy O'Rourke was manager of Fermanagh in that head-to-head. These next two are really just kind of really kind of hit home as to how long it's been. Wicklow manager Mick O'Dwyer refused to comment on his future plans after his side suffered a disappointing All-Ireland qualifying defeat to Cavan. And John O'Mahony quit as manager of the Mayo football team after his side were dumped out at the All-Ireland Football Championship by Longford and Pierce Park. And then there's other bits and pieces about apparently Crystal Swing being their phenomenon dead, and Pat Kenny apparently was making public noises that he'd be keen on moving to the Ryan Tuberty slot on RT Radio. So the 28th of June 2010, it was quite a time for...
He did move
not
to 9
sport.
O'clock eventually.
He did, he yeah. did. He got there eventually.
Don't mention the word Crystal to Mick. Sorry, just to say. It is funny.
Palace.
And the funny thing is,
you got the wrong guy there.
Just like Pat Fennell at Bowes, Stephen Cluxton is still at in the Dublin panel 15 years later.
But also, one of the other parallels is that the headlines on that Dublin win, or that Meath win against Dublin in 2010, is that, like, one of the headlines is Dublin monkey off Meath backs. Like, Meath hadn't beaten Dublin in the championships since 2001 in 2010, which was a fact that I'd completely forgotten, that this was not a trend back in 2010 either. No. So I think to say that this is now kind of a changing of the guard, I think that's a little bit wishful thinking. Mm. And that probably adds to the magic of yesterday a little bit as well.
What we just needed Leinster to become, it's funny talking to Aidan McGee about this on the show on Friday, was like, it just changes mindsets, doesn't it? Because we were saying that, like, if Dublin are on a par now and no longer the team that you automatically see as the favourites, six in a row, and you're saying that they're just one of the teams, along with Tyrone, Armagh, Donegal, Galway, Kerry, Mayo maybe, on a good day. You know, it's like, those counties, you know, Kerry are Kerry, right? But like, Donegal, Tyrone, Armagh, small populations, smaller populations than Meath and Kildare.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't really have that excuse anymore. But until they, just years of being battered, until they go out and actually do it and beat Dublin, I think this lifts everyone in Leinster football. I think this becomes a possibility now. Maybe it becomes a competition again and it lifts it. I don't know if we go back to the glory days, but even if Dublin do fall back for a couple of years, like the era you talked about, that launched 82,000 being in, you know, like Leinster quarterfinals.
Yeah,
you know, in 2002, in the kind of the Tommy Lyons era, you know, which is like, regardless of what led to what Dublin's domination became, the build to it was exceptional for like unbelievable times, like just a constantly full Croke Park, the excitement and energy around it. One thing before we move on, though, I was thinking when you were talking about Louth being favourites, is like only Meath could end a 15-year domination of Leinster and then go into a Leinster final being the villains. By the time this comes around, we'll talk about 2010 so much, but also even outside of Meath, even just like a, you know, I think it's a 68-year wait for a Leinster title for Loudon. They're in their third final in a row and now it's not the Dubs. People will be absolutely dying for them to win this game. Yeah. Meath are going to have one bit of public sympathy despite the fact that they slayed the dragon.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah, I hadn't considered that. The drought for Loud is not something we even talked about the last 2 years, because Dublin were such
exactly.
At Rocket, we believe everyone deserves their shot at the American dream. So if you're feeling locked out of home ownership, we're here to give you back the keys. We're opening doors, breaking down walls, and doing everything we can to turn renters into owners. And we're not going to stop until we help everyone home. To find out more, visit rocket.com. Rocket. Own the dream.
Comcast Business helps retailers become seamlessly restocking, frictionless paying favorite shopping destinations. It's how nationwide restaurants become touchscreen ordering, quick-serving eateries, and how hospitals become the patient-scanning, data-managing healthcare facilities that we all depend on. With leading networking and connectivity, advanced cybersecurity, and expert partnership, Comcast Business is powering the engine of modern business, powering possibilities. Restrictions apply.
When you think about your future, you know what calls to you. Meaningful work, happiness, growth, and sharing these values with others. But how will you find all of that? There are many paths forward, including one you may not have considered. The military provides countless opportunities to pursue your calling, where you can be part of something bigger than yourself, while still being yourself and having the future you want. You have a calling, we have an answer. Learn more at todaysmilitary.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
We should get cracking with the news round tonight, Steve-O, because we should chat a little bit about Liverpool. And I know Arne Slot's been talking after the success was confirmed yesterday.
Yes, indeed. He praised the supporters for motivating the team before they'd even stepped off the team bus yesterday. Thousands of loyal Reds surrounded Anfield before kick-off in anticipation of a 20th league championship win. That puts them back level with Manchester United in the all-time list. They needed just 1 point from the match against Tottenham Hotspur, but had to come from behind after former Red striker Dominic Solanke scored in front of the Kop end. However, goals from Luis Diaz, Alexis McAllister, Cody Gakpo, Mo Salah and an OG from Destiny Udogi sealed 5-1 win.
Has today, someone predicted on who you got? Move up.
Today, the club confirmed that a Premier League victory parade will take place on Monday, May 26th. That's the day after the final game of the season, with Liverpool finishing the campaign at home to Crystal Palace. Now, former boss Jurgen Klopp will be on Merseyside that weekend. He's due to attend a charity bash on the Saturday. He has been invited to the last game, but could he be on the party bus? Slot chanted Klopp's name with the supporters after yesterday's win, and he explained why afterwards.
Because of what he did when I arrived here, before I even arrived here. I think that is something not one manager ever did before. So that is what definitely helped me. But apart from that, he helped me even more by the team he left behind and the culture he left behind in that team. The quality the players have was, I think, obvious for everyone. But the culture of hard work, the culture of not only from the players but also from the staff members have been incredible, and that is one of the reasons why we could achieve what we've achieved this season. So, for obvious reasons, I think it was a nice moment to thank him as well. I don't have to manage expectations, because the expectations at this club are always the same. We have to compete for every trophy, and that didn't change when I came in, and that doesn't change next season. We have a group of players that is able to win things, but we're not the only one. And there are so many great teams in this league and in the Champions League, so it's never going to be easy, but that we have to compete. I'm not trying to lower down the expectations. Next season, again, we have to compete for every single trophy, and that's also definitely what we are trying to do.
Definitely feels to me that there was an early challenge to Arne Slot's approach to proceedings with Liverpool, and that came in the guise of Nottingham Forest and that win at Anfield before we had all this information about Nottingham Forest going on to be this Champions League qualification potentially team. And for him to kind of stick to his guns after that, and for Liverpool to go on the win after the winning run, or the unbeaten run for 26 games after that point, I think for me is the pivotal story point in this season. I'm not sure what you think, because we'll be discussing this with Dion a little bit later on. When you're trying to find a signature moment for Liverpool this season, it's up for debate as to what that is, and I think the response to that Forest game is actually up there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. For me, I think there was a early on the season when everything was still a contest and Liverpool were building their lead. They had an incredible, and it was the Forest game really stuck out because it didn't happen, but they went 1-0 down so many games. And they never panicked or rushed or, you know, played. They played with the type of confidence that would suggest that, you know, we'll just keep at it here and we'll get there. And, you know, when you look at that 3 weeks, you're thinking, are they being a bit lucky here? Is this going to last? But then when it happens like 10 times, you're thinking, no, this is not by design, but this is because of a team that knows how to stick to the game plan and an unbelievable calm about them. I don't know how many games they came from behind to win 2-1 or came from a drawing position to win. You know, they
the Brentford
consistently
game
did it.
Feels like the other one for me that's in contention.
That was, the most bananas example.
I think so, because it was Darwin Nunez as well. He comes on and saves the day for them. Like, I'm not sure for you, Steve, when you look back, what's the pinpoint moment?
Yeah, I think the Forest game, I'm trying to think, there was the game that they won on St. Stephen's Day, and I just thought, was it against Leicester City, I think? Now, I know Leicester City
Yes, it was. Yeah, I remember that, because they were behind in that as well, right?
Yeah. But, and I look, I know they weren't the most difficult team to play that season, but there was just something about the manner in which they won that game, and they still had a lot of work to do after that, but I just kind of felt there's nobody catching these guys. They're just, there's just too much class and too much quality in the team. And like I was saying on before my own commentary game yesterday, I just think the job he has done is phenomenal. Like, he's only lost two games so far this season. They can still get to 94 points. Like, he's come from the Eredivisie. You know, I know he's had his success there, and he did a brilliant job at Feyenoord in the Champions League. But, like, to do that, like, to come in from a league that wouldn't be considered by a lot of English football men and women.
Sneered at.
Exactly.
He was set up for failure.
Yeah.
He really was, because he was replacing a legendary, the most popular manager that there could possibly be. They didn't spend any money. You know, it was a team that was already, it ran out of steam last season. You know, they didn't seem like they were good enough to win a league. And it's like easy to say, it's like, we'll get this guy in for a couple of years while we find our next Messiah. Mm. You know, and he goes and casually wins the league. And it's so much so that he's really comfortable with Jurgen Klopp coming and taking a lap of honour next week or in 2 weeks.
The one thing though is that Klopp, obviously, before he announces he's leaving Liverpool, he'd given the club a serious heads up beforehand. And it does seem, again, there's so much we're going to read over the next few weeks that it's kind of like the victors writing history. But even allowing for that, Liverpool seemed to make great use of the fact that they had this heads up from Klopp. We have Richard Hughes going to visit Slot in his house because he had this big body of research done in terms of data, in terms of people who've actually worked with him and the sort of human evidence they would have got on Arne Slot. So they had come to the conclusion that this was the right guy well in advance at the end of last season. And then also there was a bit of time, it felt. Klopp kind of exited, and then there was a bit of silence, even though we knew Slot was going to be the guy, and then Slot was rolled out.
Yeah.
Now, he did have to battle against other things, like you say, maybe set up for failure. I always think it's very hard to start a new gig on a tournament summer. Like, he had 13 days with his full squad before the start of this Premier League season. And he's gone and won the league with it because of the Euros last year, obviously. I think that was a very tough position
for
him.
And his three best players were out of contract. Mm. And to deal with that all season,
the off-the-field stuff as well, Alexander-Arnold. And as well, what I want to find out is, how did he get the players to buy in? Because it's not easy for a manager to come from where he's come from, to go into that dressing room, to follow Jurgen Klopp, one of the most, you know, one of the biggest figures in English football over the last, European football over the last number of years, and to get them to buy into what he wanted to do, because he did change the team, he changed their formation, he changed the way they wanted to play, and to get the players that have won a Premier League title and a Champions League under Klopp to buy into all that, I think is really, for him to do that is brilliant. I thought it was interesting as well, the way he kind of gave Klopp his dues there. Do you know what it reminded me of? Remember Declan Kidney won the Grand Slam with Ireland, and one of the first things he said in his post-match interview, I always remember this, stuck in my head. The first thing he did is thank Daddy O'Sullivan, because he built the foundations of this team that's gone to win this Grand Slam, and I just that always stuck in my head. And I thought some similarities there between Slot thanking Klopp and Kidney thanking Eddie O'Sullivan.
Classic.
Well done.
Yeah, sure. I'd kind of forgotten about that. Do you want to bring us on to the game?
Sorry, just before we leave the soccer as well. Yeah. Sorry, Owen, it's my fault. We have to mention Katie McCabe as well, the Republic of Ireland captain. What a weekend for
this
her, because they've set up a Champions League final date, Arsenal with Barcelona, after an incredible comeback in the semi-final. The Gunners 2-1. They were trailing against Lyon after the first leg defeat at home, but they came roaring back last night in France, winning 4-1 to secure a Champions League final against Barcelona after a 5-3 aggregate win.
It's incredible. I watched the first leg of this. I didn't see yesterday's game, but I watched the first leg, and they were unlucky. They were really unlucky. They kind of fought. They had a lot of chances. They fought for an equaliser, and as soon as they scored, they got it, which by a lucky penalty, to be honest. But they got the equaliser, and Lyon went down the other end, scored. And you're like, chance is gone now. They're going over to France. You know, probably one of the best teams in Europe. They're not going to be able to turn it over. And then I just like saw the scoreline yesterday. I was just blown away by it. It's an incredible achievement. Like, you think about how their season started versus where it is now as well.
Big goal line clearance from her yesterday as well. So Emma Byrne, Kira Grant, Yvonne Tracy, UEFA Women's Cup champions with Arsenal in 2007. So hopefully she'll go on to emulate that next month. But we should move on to Gaelic football. We're up against it a small bit here, time-wise, Stephen.
Yeah, Robbie Brennan just speaking after that brilliant win against Dublin yesterday. Of course, leading by 12 points at the break with a brilliant shooting display. But Dublin's comeback in the second half wasn't good enough for me. They ran out 23-1, 16 winners. Allowed beating Kildare in the other semi-final in Tullamore to reach their third consecutive Leinster decider. It's on May 11th. And for the first time since 2010, there'll be a new name on the Delaney Cup. Jonathan Higgins, our reporter, spoke to Robbie Brennan after that win against Dublin. And he admitted they felt the 12-point halftime lead might not be enough.
Yeah, we were hoping for about 15, if I was being honest, because of that strong wind and, you know, slightly concerned because you knew the strength, obviously, Dublin had up top and their ability to kick scores and obviously goals as well. So, slight concern over that, but we still felt every time we got a score, Dublin had to come down and get two. So, our aim was just to keep chipping away as best we could and try and control the game when we get into their half and maybe not rush shots. And I thought the lads, by and large, did that. A bit sloppy towards the end, obviously, with turnovers, but as I say, fair play to them for getting it done, yeah.
Second half started bananas. You must have been fearing the worst straight away. I think it was 16 seconds and Connor's a 2-point and you're thinking, oh no.
Yeah, it was, and I think it was off. We actually had the ball, and I think it was a good hit and just spills, and Conn obviously does what he can do. So, yeah, you're starting to think then. But again, we control little patches, won some important kickouts and little freeze here and there that just kept our noses in front, and it was just enough at the end. That was probably key if you're going to try and keep the ball. Obviously, you need guys out there, and you need guys to make good decisions on the ball as well. I want to be that. I know we did a few turnovers, but by and large, I say that was the plan. And I thought the lads executed it pretty well. And as I say, but plenty to work on now. Heading for Louth next.
Elsewhere. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was just saying more on that coming after 8 o'clock with Cullum and Darren. And Hurling's going to be coming up from 7:30 with Anthony Nash, which is where you're going to head next.
Absolutely, yeah. Just to mention as well, quick one, Donegal sealing up that meeting with Armagh, the Ulster final after a 6-point win against Down in Clonus. And as you mentioned, Cork strolling to a first Munster senior hurling win of the year. Three first half goals helping them smash 14-man Tipperary, 427 to 24 points at Super Value Porky Cueve. Tip playing the majority of the game, though, a man down after that early red card for Darren McCarthy. Waterford handing Clare their first provincial loss of the season. The Dacia scored a goal in either half to defeat the All-Ireland champions 223 to 21 at Walsh Park. Kilkenny made it 2 wins from 2 in the Leinster Hurling Championship. The Cats had to come from behind to beat Antrim 230 to 212 at Corrigan Park.
Yes, indeed. There's been plenty of texts on this. Connor in Limerick, by the way, has sympathy for you, Mick. He says, tough weekend with Villa and the banner laying eggs, Mick. Ah, well, you had a good run there for a while. An unnamed texter has been in touch.
Last year was good.
Great win for the Dublin Hurlers against Wexford. They wanted it more from the start. Fast, accurate shooting. Good crowd as well. John Heatherton played a blinder. And then Sean in Dublin of Wexford origin. Well done to the Dublin Hurling supporters. But lads, that decision for the penalty was an absolute howler. The referee can't possibly call that without consulting with the umpire, both of which told the Wexford goalkeeper they thought it didn't cross the line. Where is the consultation here between the officials? These decisions are absolutely massive and getting it wrong is not good enough. No part of the ball is over the line, let alone the whole of it.
I'm not saying Mark Fanning lied about the umpire saying that around. I just don't think we know that for sure. That's come from, I heard that in the Sunday game last night. I don't know how far away the reporting has, you know, a purple monkey dishwasher that could be very much so. So let's not state that as fact that the umpires told Mark Fanning that the ball wasn't over the line. We don't really know. But obviously the referee should have consulted. I do feel like it's blown out of proportion somewhat. I don't know if you guys watched the game. Dublin should have won that game easily. And they kept conceding goals in the first half to let kind of Wexford back into it. And fine, Wexford were on top, but Dublin, I think, had turned the screw. And I think they ended up winning by 4 points. But, you know, the context of a game is always based on what the score is. There's nothing to suggest to me from watching it that Dublin wouldn't have done enough, regardless of whether that was saved or not. You know, I think...
The outcome shouldn't...
And by the way, if you're from Wexford, you're going to be absolutely outraged by that comment, and it's irrelevant and so on. But the other way of looking at it is, like, bad decisions happen all the time. There's why... Like, I'm absolutely convinced that there was two frees called in the Waterford Clare match where one was wide that was called over and one was over that was called wide. You don't even see replays of them. Do you know what I mean? They don't matter. Like, it's not one of those things that people get pent up by, but they, you know, you decide on individual moments that these are the ones that we have to live and die by. There's bad decisions constantly. There's, like, you know, the Darren McCarthy sending off. It's like, you know, oh, but this happening all around the field. Well, the ref or the linesman didn't see those other ones. He saw that one. You can't hit someone in the stomach.
Yeah.
It's not to say you don't feel sorry for him or it's not an awful thing or it didn't ruin the game. But, like, we can't be just blaming the refs over that. You know what I mean? So I just think there's a million things like this happen over the course of games. This was a big one.
Yeah.
But it's also not the end of the world.
No.
There was a long way to go in that game. If Wexford needed to win it...
The good news is that Anthony Nash is on standby and we'll get his take on this after the break as well. That's Monday night's news round. Back in a sec.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
I do think they still have a chance, but I'll say it's all going to come down to that derby, and I think United sort of has that confidence at the minute.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.